It's Marketplace Tech for October 13th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. China makes a lot of our hardware. The country's also manufacturing startups at a pretty incredible rate. And the founders of those startups? Well, I'll let Naval Ravikant, CEO of the investment website AngelList, describe them.
Imagine the local Silicon Valley tech entrepreneur intensity, but then combined with the fact that they're coming out of abject poverty.
Ravikant is hoping the same kind of intensity will come in the form of investments from Chinese investors in two new companies outside of China. This week, he announced a $400 million fund from the China Science and Merchants Investment Management Group. Okay, in our land of billion-dollar tech company unicorns, $400 million may sound like child's play, but Ravikant's AngelList, which helps new companies find funding, also helped Uber back in the day. Hi, Naval. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
So $400 million, it's a lot of money. If I had $400 million, I would probably be on a beach somewhere. But in tech terms, we hear about much bigger figures. What's it going to mean for AngelList?
What's interesting about this $400 million fund is that it is allocated entirely towards investing in early stage startups, the very first formative rounds of these companies. When they're valued at just a couple of million dollars, there'll be a few people, business plan, a little bit of code, maybe one customer. So it's the largest seed stage fund in the world. It's the largest fund that's been allocated exclusively towards early stage startups. And in AngelList, we have the mechanisms to allocate that capital effectively.
How could the startups who promote their endeavors on your site benefit?
The cost of starting a company has come down a lot, a tech company, in the last decade. And so we've gone from hundreds of tech companies to thousands to now tens of thousands getting started up. So, of course, we need to go from a few hundred investors on Sand Hill Road to thousands of investors. And what AngelList does is it gathers the best angels in the world together to look at these companies. Now, when they find a great company and they invest their own money on arm's length term, AngelList verifies that, and it puts this institutional capital as well as allows other angel investors to go in behind those lead angels. So it's essentially a model in which we have hundreds of managers who are lead angels voting with their own money, and then we have other angels and this fund backing them up.
Why is this particular move focused on China?
Why China? Well, I think there's a couple of good reasons. The innovation economy is really taking off there. I would say Beijing, Shanghai now represent the second largest startup market in the world. And they are flush with capital, and now they want to expand globally. They're not happy with just being considered Chinese market players, but you're going to see them expanding globally. And in CSC's case, they want to be a global investor in startups, as opposed to a global founder of startups.
Naval Ravikant is the CEO and co-founder of AngelList. Naval, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, it may not be high on your list of known lobby groups, but let me tell you, the Internet Association has some big names attached to it. The so-called Unified Voice of the Internet Economy was founded by Amazon, eBay, Facebook, and Google. And heads from those companies and many others will be in Menlo Park today at a conference with government regulators. That hasn't always been a happy marriage. One agenda item, according to senior Politico tech correspondent Tony Rahm, is the so-called sharing economy.
These days, not a whole lot gets Congress to act. And so for a lot of tech companies, it's about education and it's about playing defense. It's ensuring that they don't get a nasty letter from a member of Congress who's concerned about the sorted information they collect, or an investigation from the Federal Trade Commission about the way in which they're conducting their business.
Tony Rahm at Politico. When you say tech service sound, I think the creaky opening door in AOL Instant Messenger, which should tell you I was a teenager in the 1990s. You know what, though? In 2015, these sound design elements are still really important. Adi Robertson at The Verge wrote about Skype's new sound design for the mobile world. Adi, hi.
Hi.
Can you talk to me about, like, what a sonic palette means for, I don't know, like a company like Skype?
For one thing, they have sort of little sets of sounds that they can blend together. Mm-hmm. And then it also just means general philosophies. Like they talk a lot about how Skype is round instead of angular.
Okay, we should listen to some of that and see if we can hear that roundness. Let's listen to a Skype calling sound. does sound kind of round, Pavlovian, somehow.
No, a lot of people talked about Skype as being almost Pavlovian, that the Skype ringtone that we just played, you learn to associate it with calling really specific people, because Skype isn't a phone service. Skype is what you use to call your grandmother.
You profiled the company that's helping Skype redesign some of its sounds, and how do they think about that mission?
So the thing that Skype's redesign is part of is their acquisition by Microsoft, which was in 2011, and this is the first time they've redesigned those sounds to actually be sort of
more
part of Microsoft. Well, but they specifically don't want it to feel more Microsoft-y. It's a really strange distinction to hear at some point.
Yes, it is. Can you define it further than that?
The way it was explained to me is that Skype was sort of quirky and a one-off thing that you would use occasionally. And Microsoft is a big trustworthy company that you would found all of your computing on, and that they want Skype to feel sort of more integrated into that and more
part of the whole.
More trustworthy.
How important do you think this stuff is, like, actually?
It's really hard to tell, especially because on mobile, so much of this stuff disappears. And so eventually it just kind of fades into the background. But that's also sort of what these are supposed to do, is they're supposed to give something a terrain or a feel that you might not really notice it, but eventually it'll sort of stick in your head.
Adi Robertson wrote this story about sound design for Skype and other companies for The Verge. Adi, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We posted Adi's story at facebook.com/marketplacetech. You should definitely check it out. It is sound rich, just like us. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.